Well, you said that quantum computing wasn't that far away. When we get quantum computing, Professor, what will it bring with it?
Well, the CIA has looked very carefully at quantum computers because they could crack any computer code, any encrypted code, much faster than any known computer. So, however, I should point out that the most advanced quantum computer can only compute on about 7 atoms. It multiplied 3 times 5 is 15 last year. That's the world's record, by the way. Kids know that 3 times 5 is 15.
Yeah.
But a quantum computer did that last year. That's how primitive the technology is. And instead of 7 atoms, you want to calculate on perhaps, you know, a few thousand to million atoms. So you see how far we have to go.
Sure, but you're still saying we're going, even if it's decades, that's not that far. But when we get a fully functional downtown type developed quantum computer, what would we be able to do with it, potentially?
Well, one potential is to reproduce human thought. The brain is not a digital computer. There is no Microsoft Windows for the brain. The brain has no CPU. It has no Pentium chip. You can lose half your brain and the brain still functions. The brain is a neural network. The brain is a learning machine. It is not a computing machine. It is a learning machine. Learning machines rewire themselves constantly, and quantum computing may eventually give us the ability to duplicate the fantastic capabilities of the human brain. And speaking of brains, by the way, you know that Einstein's brain, to get back to the subject of my book, Einstein's Cosmos, Einstein's brain is back at Princeton now, where it belongs. And so it's now a place where scientists can really study it.
Have we yet found anything abnormal about Einstein's brain? Or does it appear, is it larger? Is there anything about it that we've discovered yet that places it in a different category?
Yes, there is something unusual about Einstein's brain.
Oh?
Well, first of all, the person who performed the autopsy went against the wishes of the family. He wanted to be cremated, and he basically stole Einstein's brain and kept it in his office for many, many years, and it's been floating around the United States for many years.
Really?
And now it finally is back at Princeton, where it belongs. It's in several pieces. Much of it is sliced up into view graphs that can be seen by microscope, and other parts of it are in chunks. There is one part that is unusual. The brain looks very normal, but there's one part that is actually not normal. It's the part of the brain that involves abstract thought. It is much thicker than in the normal brain. Now, my personal point of view is that this means that genius is probably not born. Genius is probably made. If you get mice brains, for example, you train mice to do certain tasks.
Yes.
And then you analyze the brain. You see that the brain has slightly changed. The brain actually rewires itself, grows in certain directions to consolidate certain new tasks that it has just learned.
You're saying geniuses are made, not born?
Probably. In other words, Einstein was not a child prodigy. There's no instance where he dazzled his parents with mathematical ability as a child. He was actually kind of a slow learner for much of his early life. But he had the ability to think in terms of simple pictures that grasp the essence of phenomena. And he could stay with these children's questions for like 10 years at a time. Like, what is light? What is space? He would stick with these questions for 10 years before he could finally crack them. And so I personally think that composers, musicians, mathematicians, people involved in abstract thought, that part of the brain is going to be accentuated just because the brain rewires itself after you learn certain tasks. Now, most of us never do that. Most of us never ask children's questions and then spend 10 years trying to answer them.
Do we have any idea what in Einstein's life made him what he was?
Well, we have instances where, clues. When I was writing Einstein's Cosmos, my latest biography of Einstein, I realized that a compass needle, when he was around 10 or so, fascinated him. And when I interview other scientists, they all see the same thing. At around 10, 11, 12, those are the magic years before they hit puberty, 13, 14, and then they're lost, right? But while they're still 10, 11, 12, those are the magic years when they realize that the world is much bigger than mommy and daddy.